Welcome to the Not Sorry Art Podcast. I'm Sari Shrike, the artist and creator behind Not Sorry Art. I'm so excited to talk art and creativity with you, so grab a drink, grab a snack, and let's dive in. I also wanted to say that today's episode is sponsored by my book. I have a book coming out. I'm so proud of this, guys. The links are already up. I'll have them in the show notes. But the book is called Modern Still Life, From Fruit Bowls to Disco Balls. It is my take on a step-by-step painting book. I am really excited about it. Not only does it have like motivational tips and tricks to keep you going in your practice, but it also has clear and beautiful and full color breakdowns of the step-by-step process in my paintings. So I could not be more excited about it. If you wanted to check it out, pre-order it. It would help me more than you even know. Hey y'all, welcome back to the Not Sorry Art Podcast. I'm Sari. Thanks for being here. I'm really excited for today's show as I dive into the world of art therapy with registered art therapist Piera Brown. I first encountered Piera on TikTok, where she creates fun and enlightening content around her practice as an artist and a therapist in Chicago. Art therapy is a topic that I think most of us have at least heard of, but we may not know what all goes into the profession. That's why I wanted to have this conversation with Piera. And in this interview, we jump into her world by answering questions such as, what is art therapy? How does a person get into art therapy as a career? And what are common misconceptions about art therapy? Plus much more. I invite you to check out this informative and entertaining conversation about art therapy. And if you'd like to learn more about it and hear from Piera, you can follow her on Instagram and TikTok at pieraD.B. I will, of course, provide her links in the show notes below. I know y'all are going to enjoy this episode. So with that said, let's just dive right into the interview. Hi, Piera. Thank you so much for being here today. I am so excited. I've been looking forward to this interview forever. I have followed you for such a long time on TikTok. So excuse me if I'm fangirling a moment here, but I'm so happy for you to be here today.
No, I'm so excited. It's okay. I do the same thing. I'd be like, oh my gosh, yes, I will come on your podcast. Look, I love your art. I love everything that you do. So it's a mutual shared excitement.
Yes. Oh, thank you so much. That makes me so happy. So if we can just jump in, would you mind telling me a little bit about who you are, how you found art, and how you found yourself in art therapy?
Yes. So like you did the introduction, I am Piera. I have been doing art for a very long time. Like growing up, I've always been into art. My mom definitely was like, you know, we're going to hone in on this gift. You don't like Barbies, but I'll get you some other stuff. So, and then growing up, like in the early 2000s, late 90s. It was like that crafty era. So the bracelets, the keychains, that was me.
The jewels.
Yes, I was a little girl knocking them on. I'm like, Mom, I seen this on TV. Can I get it? And she's like, what is it? I'm like, it's this thing and you build it and you make it. And she's like, we'll get it for Christmas. Or Mom, I seen this video camera. And she's like, Christmas. And I'm like, great. But she definitely like honed in on my creative side. And from there, like being in a Black household, it was all about kind of like, you need to go to college, you need a job that's going to pay. And you hear like the narrative, artists don't make no money. So I was like, okay, I can't be an artist. I'm not gonna make no money. I don't want to be broke. So yeah, let's do teacher. And so I started with wanting to be a teacher. Then I transitioned to wanting to be a therapist. And I was actually going to double major in undergrad, but the education program was a little too intense and it didn't give enough space for psychology. Gotcha. So I chose psychology more. And my junior year, I was introduced to art therapy by my ceramics professors and my ceramics professor. And I'm like on the wheel working and he's like, you're really good at this. What are you studying? I was like, oh, psychology. I'm just taking an elective. He's like, have you heard of art therapy? And I was like, oh. And the following semester of my junior year, I switched majors and I focused on art major. And then I looked up graduate schools, got into the Art Institute, and then bam, we're here. I'm an art therapist.
Yes, that's a beautiful story. I love that. And so many interesting layers there. I love that you pointed out, I don't think I've ever actually thought of it, but you're so right. The late 90s, early 2000s, that's my childhood too. But it was full of, like, I remember the Doodle Bears, you know, everything.
Yeah, exactly.
So
Yes.
much creative. And it, like, so good on your mom for, like, seeing your talent and, like, fostering in a way that's also, like, really realistic. Like, I feel like that's all you can ask from a parent is, like, recognizing and seeing who you are, but then also being like, how are we going to make this work with the real world? Like, what an amazing mom.
Yes.
And it sounds like you really followed your skills and your passion. And I think that's, you know, something that some people really struggle with. You know, you like one thing, but you don't know how to make it work in the real world. And I think your journey is really beautiful because you have this skill set and this interest in art. And I feel like teaching and therapy, while completely different professions and different skill and, you know, different in a professional sense, I think at their heart, both come from a desire to, like, help people. And so I love that in multiple ways, like, you identified that with yourself. So if I can ask you a little bit more about diving into art therapy, it sounds like your ceramics professor, you know, saw that in you and pushed you in that direction. What to you made it feel like a good fit? Like, I know you were guided, but did you, was there a moment when you were studying psychology or taking those classes that you were like, oh, this is what I want to do? And could you relay that to us?
Oh, so I honestly thought the psychology courses were really boring in undergrad.
That's hilarious.
Honestly, I did. I mean, it was cool, but I was just like, oh my God, this is getting a little boring. This is really what I want to do. And when he had told me about art therapy, after that, I like started doing my research and I was like, oh, yes, like this is a more engaging type of therapy. So I definitely was like, yep, I'm on board. I'm excited. Let's do this. What are the next steps? And my friend, like this weekend, we were talking about it. And I told her, I was like, oh yeah, I majored in art. And she's like, wait, what? And she was, I was like, yeah, no, I majored in art and I minored in psychology. I honestly could have double majored. I just didn't want to finish the last class that was required. So I had enough. I was like, oh yeah, we're good. We can leave psychology alone and just head on into art. But as far as like all of like how like to navigate that, I don't remember what the question was. I'm so excited.
No,
Repeat the
you're good.
question.
No, this is you are explaining it totally. But was there a moment whenever, so you said you did research to try to, like, you know, figure out if that was going to be a good fit because you were recommended art therapy. Was there a moment in your research that like you were like, oh, that sounds like something I want to do? And like, what was that moment?
Oh yeah, no, it was just all natural. When he said it and I learned about it, I was like, oh yeah, this is me. I get to do art. Great. Because I had started, I like growing up, like I said, I would do art at home. And then throughout high school, I was afraid to take an art, like multiple art electives. Again, growing up, like you need to have a job. And it's like you had to, my mom's like, what's your class schedule look like? And it had to make sense, right? So if it was like art, why do you have art in there? So I did my senior year, I took a ceramics course. And I was like, oh, I really love it. But I know I can't like I can't get away with saying this is what I want to focus on. So once I heard about it, I was like, oh, I'm diving in. This is what I want to do. No questions asked. Like I've already was a creative and I've always loved psychology. I'm a true crime. I've always been a true crime girl. Growing up. And thinking about like the nature versus nurture, and that always like blew my mind, and all of like the big name like murderers and stuff like that. I was like, oh, I need to know more. So it just fit naturally in my flow of everything that I enjoyed growing up.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, the like, why do people do what they do? And I guess I'm curious with, you know, your profession, could you explain a little bit about how, I think, you know, one thing, even in researching for this episode, you know, I even was kind of unsure exactly what art therapy is. And I feel like that's one thing you do an excellent job on your TikTok, explaining that it's not just, I think some people think art and they think easy, simple. And I get it. And that's because I think a lot of our first experience with art is in like first grade, second grade, you know, kindergarten, crayons. But you have been a pretty big proponent that it's deeper than that and that it's bigger than that and it's harder work, I guess. Maybe not hard work, but it's more work than people give it credit for. Can you explain two parts? What is art therapy like in you know, in your words? And then, you know, what are some of the biggest misconceptions about art therapy as a profession?
So lately, I've been, when I explain what art therapy is and what my role is, I always say I'm a specialized therapist. And not just a specialized therapist, but more so like I have the training in order to utilize art, the art tools, the art making process. And I know how to utilize and use those like skill sets and have them fit for the individual or the group that I'm working with. So at the end of the day, I'm a therapist, because a lot of people forget that part of art therapy. They just hear art. Oh my gosh, you're an art teacher or you're an artist. I'm like, you forgot the
there's a whole other word there.
There's yeah. And so I'm like, I'm a specialized therapist. So number one, at the end of the day, I'm a therapist. I am assisting individuals and providing specific needs. So my 9-to-5 is working at a behavioral hospital. Mm-hmm. In the hospital, there are specific goals that need to be met. There are specific things that each patient is coming in there and working towards as far as their treatment. And so when I am coming to them with different group art activities, it's very specified. So if I'm working with kids, we're going to work on how to communicate. If you need help, use your words. We're going to work on how to work in a group cohesion, communication amongst your peers, and what that looks like. We're working on frustration tolerance. Mm-hmm. I purposely set up different activities to make my kids frustrated to help them manage that. I put them in controlled spaces, controlled activities, so they can get mad, so they can initially practice using their communication, learning how to manage when they get angry or when someone doesn't agree with them. A lot of it's very intentional, very thought out. The kids love the art, but they be like, Miss Pete, why did I do this activity again? I'm like, because you guys, we need to work on it. We need to work on transitioning. Yeah. And they're like, you're right. And
cute.
When I work with adolescents, the same thing. When I work with my adults, I do more creative exposure and exposing them to the art and reintroducing them to the art. And a lot of the times, you hear what you have mentioned before. I haven't done art in a long time, and since I was a kid, and wow, I forgot. I really love watercolors. Thanks for reminding me. And I'm like, that's the purpose. I want to remind you that there are additional coping skills outside of the ones that you think are working for you, but are bad coping skills. And so it just takes a different avenue. And the biggest misconception, I call it like the fluffy art therapy, the foo-foo art therapy, that it's going to make you feel good and you get to be creative and express yourself. And then that's where it cuts off.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, well, what about the processing, the part where we talk about it, the part where I point things out to you that you're ignoring? And my fellow music therapist, she was talking, my fellow expressive therapist, she's a music therapist, and we were talking about how if she worked with musicians, I work with artists, they would get frustrated because they use their skills to, like I said, express themselves and get it out. But usually they just like remove themselves from the situation. Whereas an art therapist or a music therapist will step in and be like, we're going to talk about it a little further. Mm-hmm. And they'll be, no, but I let it out. No. It goes beyond just expressing yourself and getting it off your chest. And, I love doing art when I'm upset. I'm like, we still got to deal with why you're upset though. Yeah. So that's like my biggest pet peeve, is like, we really just kind of like, they make it cute and frilly. They put a little frilly socks and the cute little dress on art therapy. I'm like, I wish it was that.
Yeah, that's, you explained that so beautifully. And it feels like it to me, like art therapy really encompasses a lot. Like, you know, you were saying like processing and letting it out, but there's also like responding to the frustration, which I feel like a lot like with therapy in general, like, you know, who needs therapy and who doesn't isn't a clean break. You know, I think we all have areas where we could use some of that outside help and some of that feedback. But it's something that I see when I do workshops with grownups, and it isn't in an art therapy setting. I'm not at all qualified. But one thing that does come up, especially the longer workshops, is by day 5, 6, 7, people, all of a sudden what starts bubbling to the top is people's struggles with like perfectionism. And I always tell them, like, art at the end of the day is very low stakes, right? Like, I'm not a structural engineer. I'm not a medical doctor. Like, I'm not doing anything that's going to, you know, no real meaningful consequences. And I'm using that lightly, but you know what I mean? Like, it's not, if I mess up a painting, it's not going to be the end of the world. And yet people a lot of times have that frustration of process or deeper emotions or wounds or, you know, all that stuff kind of comes up. And I'm curious, you know, because there's so much that you laid out with what art therapy does. But if we can speak to that for a moment, like, what is your insight on that? Why does that happen? And is it healthy to, obviously, I feel like I know what you're going to say. Is it like, how does it help people to like process that? Like, what is the meaningful, like what happens if you do take that on, and instead of quitting and say, okay, it's hard, like what's the good thing that can come out of pushing through and being patient with yourself through that struggle?
Confidence in yourself, number one. And perfectionism, especially like in the art space, is really big because the idea of art is like, oh, it has to be good art. And it's like, oh, I'm not an artist, it's not going to be good. So that's where the fear comes. And so once you like work past and you kind of, not kind of, when you accept where you're at. And so my number one thing whenever I come like doing my groups and work, and when I work with adults, they're like, oh, I'm not an artist. I'm like, oh, I'm not an art teacher. You're not getting a grade. I'm not asking you to do anything amazing. I just want you to try. I want you to create where you're at. And the more you create, the more confident you get, and the more you are accepting of of where your art and where your art is. And once you accept where your art is, you're closer to accepting where where you are mentally and emotionally in that moment. And they have, it's interesting because I've worked with multiple people and I've done like workshops where I've seen the same people, and each time their confidence in themselves has grown. I've had someone who I work continuously with, she's like, thank you so much. I'm like, I feel like I could do anything because I've overcame, collaging or this like painting that we did. So definitely confidence in yourself and the ability to accept you where you're at in that moment, and understanding that each day is going to be different. You have to accept that space the same way you have to accept the art that you're making in that moment. Accept it and keep moving.
Beautiful, beautiful. I love that so much. And I love that you said confidence. Like that's, I feel like that's such a good answer. 'Cause one thing about our culture that I, maybe it's just personally, but kind of struggle with is like, I think people mean well, but people will say things like, oh, be confident or overcome imposter syndrome. And that's, that sounds good, but to actually go from like, okay, I want to be confident to actually being confident, sometimes like not everyone has the skill to bridge that. But I feel like, in my own personal life, art for me, I feel like I'm kind of inverse in some ways. Like art for me has, especially when I was a kid, young adult, was the only place in my life I felt confident. And it was through my art that I sort of rallied the rest of myself to be more confident. But it was through proving, I guess, like to try to simplify it, like problem solving. Like even when I make the ugliest, weirdest, most terrible thing to look at, and I feel so insecure about it, I know on some level that if I spend enough time, I'll figure it out. Maybe it won't be perfect, but I'll come to peace with whatever I've made. And from knowing I can do that with just paper and pencil, I learned in other areas of my life that like if I can just lean into that mindset, then I can, do anything's a stretch, but I can at least try and think I might be able to be okay. I'm curious, like, with confidence, like, is that how you see that happen? Is it like the problem solving? Is it the, the familiarity of the mediums? Like, what do you think is, if I can get a little smaller into this, like, is building that confidence?
The confidence is, let's say I'm working with an adult, and the first time, they're like, they're like scribble with oil pastel. I'm like, oh, I can't do it. I'm like, okay, you sure? And then I'll walk you through it. And they're like, no. The next time I see them, they're like, I want to try the oil pastels again. Can you show me like what the technique that you want to? I'm like, oh yeah, let's work on blending. And then you go there and you're like working on your blending. And the next time I see you, you just gravitate and you remember how to blend, and you're just doing it over and over. And you're like, look, I've perfected, blending. What's the next thing I can do with oil pastels? I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Let's have you familiar with silhouettes? No, let's try a sunset beach silhouette. And it's like the blending, and it's there. And then it goes from not wanting to it being introduced to some like a specific way of using the material, to continuously using the material over and over and perfecting it and making it better. And you're not even like coming to me. You're just a, I got it. Nope, I don't need you. I remember how to do it. And from there, you're like, I'm gonna make somebody an oil pastel and be proud of it. I'm making everybody, I'm making all the nurses, all my doctors, all my therapists oil pastels. You went from not wanting to try oil pastels to make wanting to make art for other people and giving it to them and releasing it and being proud of it. And like, look what I did. I figured it out. I didn't need you no more. That is like working in like a behavioral hospital and seeing that, and seeing the growth in my patients when they use like a material over and over again. And sometimes I'll like push the limit and be like, are you ready to try a different art medium? And then they'll be like, yeah, let me try it. Compared to the first time where they were hesitant, where they're more open and receptive to trying something different, wanting to switch it up if I introduce them. That is like the confidence that I've seen, especially like recently with my adolescent girls. I had one particular girl whose art started very regressed, and then from it has grown. And I told her, I was like, girl, your art is getting, it's getting real good. And she's like, it is. I'm like, yes, like you get real confident. She's like, thank you. I've been practicing a lot.
Oh, I love that. That's so beautiful. I can't imagine how amazing that must feel to watch people do that. And obviously they're doing a lot of the work, you know, of actually making the art. But, you know, it really is a testament to your skill that you can kind of do that balance of like being kind of firm with someone and giving them like, hey, this is how you do it. This is how you show up. And then also encouraging them enough to really like want to do it. I feel like that's a fine balance and it definitely its own skill set. So like such a kudos to you for that skill. And I was curious because you mentioned children, adolescents, adults. Could you tell me a little bit about the difference between working with all of those groups and like and I know it may not be this simple, but is there if there's like a you know one thing that each kind of group tends to struggle with the most? I feel like that might be really insightful for
Oh,
people in their own
yes.
journey.
No, a lot of people always ask, like, oh my God, what's your favorite group to work with? I bet you would see adults. And I'm like, no, I prefer working with the adolescents and the kids. And they're like, why? And I'm like, because the adults are worse than the teenagers and worse than the kids sometimes. And they're like, huh? I'm like, one, because sometimes based off of like their trauma and their experiences mentally, they're stuck as adolescents. But then they grew up in an adult body, so they're gonna tell you, I'm grown, I don't need to do this, and I don't need you to tell me what to do. And I'm like, I'm not, I'm just trying to offer you some options. And they're like, ah. But the thing about the adults is once you get them going, once you get them engaged, oh, they open up, they have stories to tell, they're a lot more aware, and they're a lot more like they understand when you like approach them with like, okay, well, you know, I noticed this, and they're like, yeah, you're right. Like the accountability is a lot quicker than working with the kids or the adolescents. They're like, no, I did mess up, or you know, oh yeah, you're right. And they're really serious about their treatment. Like they're like, I'm here, I want to focus, this is what I need to work on, I want to make changes. When working with adolescents, they're hilarious. I love working with teens. They're funny. They're just full of drama.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. Its own
They're
skill
just
set
full
to
of
have to, you know,
and
contend with
yes,
that.
they're just they're full of drama, but they're so loving and they're so kind. They're like, Miss P, and like once they love you, and they're open. They're like, Miss P, I need help, and you can give them all the advice in the world, and they're gonna make their own decisions. How they're gonna do what they're gonna do, but they want to hear the advice. But working with the teens, it is so fun to see, because especially the girls, they get so engaged in the art, and like we just want to do art, we want to make art, and I'm like, oh, don't worry, we're gonna do it. Don't worry. Then the babies. Oh, my sweet babies. So it's like between the ages of right now, I think the youngest is 6, and it goes up to 11 for like the babies and the pre-ads. Working with the babies and the younger kids, their problem is like sharing space. They have big emotions and they don't have the vocabulary. So it's just all actions. So if something goes wrong, like, oh, I need you to not touch art supplies. But why? Because I asked you to. And then they spit on you. And you're like, all right, see, we're not doing this today. So with them, it's just creating an ability to communicate, to remember. You can talk, you can use your words. It's okay. You don't, it's not all action. And then if you get upset, it's okay. Take a breath. It's just a little wrinkle up the paper. It's all right. So
Very minor.
that is like the range. But my favorite is adolescent and kids.
Oh, I love that. I love hearing about the kids. And you know, it's funny. I read a book recently and it's called Your Brain on Art, and it talks about, you know, how much, you know, each chapter is kind of its own lesson about like, you know, singing and, you know, visual art and all these different things and like how beneficial they are to everyone. And I can't exactly remember the study or, you know, the exacts of it, but they were talking about how with children who had undergone like a trauma, so like, you know, something major like a famine or, you know, a natural disaster or a man-made, you know, conflict or something like that. And afterwards, they would have them draw to like help communicate. And it was almost, they used the art almost like as a diagnosis for the kids. Like, 'cause at first they drew in like black and white. And it was very small, and like they didn't want to talk about it. But over the time, like with exposure and through lots of other modes of healing, they were able to start reincorporating things like color back into their artwork. I'm just curious, you know, is there ever like a diagnostic part of what you do with the art and therapy? Because I know it sounds like a lot of like healing and process and learning, you know, process and all of that, but does that ever come into play?
That's everyone always asks, can you diagnose me through my art? And I'm like, no, really can't, but I do work with patients who do have specific diagnosis, and also using the art, you can gauge where they're at as far as kind of age-wise. So let's say I have like a 9-year-old and they're drawing people in the form of like the little centipedes, like with the body and like all the hands and stuff. You can see where they're at cognitively and how they structure their paper, and you can see where they're at. We're like, okay, we don't have a grasp of space, and we don't have a grasp of like organization, mental organization. So I can gauge that through their art and seeing it. Or when I like communicate with the educators at the hospital that I'm at, I'm just like, hey, I've noticed they're doing a lot of writing. How has their writing been in school? And they're like, oh, they've really been practicing. So you can see like sometimes in the art that they're practicing their spelling and they're working on their fine motor. And again, sometimes you can see like, okay, she's 10, but her writing is giving as though she is still cognitively a first grader, just learning how to hold like a pencil or something like that. So on those moments, I can definitely see it. I can also see when working with adults who might be schizophrenic that their thought is very scattered, and so their art becomes very scattered and unorganized. They'll take like a coloring page on top of a coloring page. They'll put stencils on top of that stencil. They'll put another stencil, and it's like very, I'm like, their thought's a little loose today. All right, okay. And it has like things around it. So I can definitely like I can gauge like where they are mentally. As far as like I said, diagnosing, not someone, I'm not diagnosing anyone, but I can, there are certain things that I can pinpoint, and then I can identify like, okay, this is a little something we want to pay attention to.
Yeah, interesting. So there's things that can manifest, but I love that you cleared up that you cannot diagnose through art. I think that's a really important, I think, misconception that happens actually. And on that note, can you explain like the biggest misconceptions that people tend to have about art therapy that you feel like you're, I feel like I know, I might know where you're going because I've seen your TikToks, but could you explain the biggest misconception that people have about art therapy?
That it's only for kids. That's always the number one. It's like, oh, so you want to work with kids? I'm like, no, I work with all ages. They're like, oh, really? I'm like, yeah, art therapy isn't just for kids. Like, they always just assume anything that's a creative, like expressive therapy, it's for kids. It's like, no, you are, adults are capable of making art, of being reintroduced to art and engaging with it. It just might be a little, hesitation in the beginning, but they're still quite capable of doing it. So that art therapy is only meant for kids.
Yeah, I know. I love that you brought that up. It's something I'm kind of passionate about on my own is, that I don't think we're ever supposed to completely get rid of art. Like, obviously, because of like time and, a lot of people don't have the time, the energy, the money, the resources, the space, and certainly not the permission, which I don't think you need to make art, but a lot of people feel like they do need permission to make art, that a lot of people give it up at, fifth grade, third grade, middle school, maybe high school at the latest. And it's still so incredibly beneficial. One of my favorite sayings is, and I don't remember where I heard this, but it was like a painting professor or a college teacher sitting with a little girl, and she was drawing and coloring. And she asked him, like, oh, what do you do for work or for a living, or what do you do? And he says, oh, I teach grown-ups how to paint and draw. And she said, oh, they forget. And I always love that because it's, you do always know, like, how, as a kid, you know how to do it. You just intuit it. And I'm curious your thought before, because I want to talk about your art next. But before we move on, why do you think, and I know you may not have like the full answer, but from your work experience, I'm just curious, why do you think so many people give up art and drawing and then create that boundary of like, it's not for me, it's just for kids?
Because and when you're growing up, sometimes you'll get told, like adults will always be like, oh, you can do a little more. Like I've seen it with my kids when they're making art, and instead of just accepting their art, it's like, oh, you could have done better, or you could have done this, or it's like, I don't know, like, what is that? I don't think you did it right, versus just letting them create. So as they go through that and the adults like approach them in their life, they might lose that confidence. But then the other thing that sometimes happens is we minimize art to just painting and drawing. But I always like remind people that art is so much more than just painting and drawing. Like for my mom, for instance, she would tell me, she was like, yeah, someone asked me like where I got an artistic ability. And she's like, I don't know. I'm like, what you mean you don't know? Dad's a DJ and you basically do tablescapes and interior design. And she's like, huh? I'm like, that's art. That's art form. Or like when I tell like certain patients, like adult patients, they're like, yeah, I'm not really artistic. And they're like, oh yeah, but I love to reconstruct a car and put it together. I'm like, That's crazy. That sounds real creative and crafty to me.
Yeah, so creative. Yes. Oh my
And
gosh.
they're like, oh, I never thought about that. It's just like they just think artists is painting and drawing. I'm like, no, you can be creative in a different way. If you do wigs, if you do makeup, if you're a baker, if you like to cook, like that's, and they're like, oh yeah, I didn't think. I'm like, yeah, that's art. So art could, like, growing up with adults telling us we can do something better, or I don't know what this is, or if they give recognition to someone who's quote unquote better, a better artist, can decrease that kind of interest in art and push them away. But then also the idea that art is only visual, painting, drawing, that type of thing.
Yes. Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up about creative, because that's so sometimes, people ask like, oh, is your family creative? And, I always would say, well, no, because I mean, no one, my parents didn't graduate high school even, they were just kind of like from the get-go kind of making things work. But the nature of growing up very, very low income is that you have to be creative to survive. So, everything from just like survival all the way up to the fact that like my mom always liked to look cute. So we'd go to Sally's and we would dye our hair. And I remember my first lesson in color theory was learning that purple pigment cancels out yellow in hair. And so I was a little kid, I mean, I don't know, middle school, learning about color wheel and color theory. And so when I got to college, I remember feeling so out of my element of like, I've never taken art classes, I never, but all of the stuff that I learned from just like my experience growing up, being around people who are creative problem solving and like what you said, non-traditional ways, I was like, oh, I've got this. Like, I do have some information to go off of. And I'm so, so glad you brought that up. I love that point. I think it's so good. And I love that you said that that's one of the reasons people don't keep making art. So there's really a lot of value in being like, no, yeah, if I'm doing my nails, if I'm help build building a car engine, that's crazy. That's like so creative.
Right, and they just calmly, I'm like, that sounds real creative to me. I mean, I don't know how to redo a dress, but you can, so.
I mean, in the process and things get hard and you have to fit like so creative. I love that. But I really want to talk about your artwork because you are also an artist. You are multi-talented. And I want to ask first to bridge the gap. How does your job, do you think, how does your profession play into your art making? Do they help each other? Is there a struggle there? I'm just curious about that.
Actually, no. So I've always grown up doing a little bit of everything as far as it comes to art. My favorite is working in ceramics. And growing up, I would like to like build with like Legos and stuff like that, sculpture. And so I started with that. And then I liked making bracelets. I used to do latchook and I would like do watercolor. So I would do a lot of everything. I think me being able to like learn a new art skill has helped me be a better art therapist, so that I can bring a wide range of different materials and like the ideas that are constantly flowing, because everything that I want to like bring to the patients, it can't just be done with like painting or like, oh, I don't want to just use it as like using papers and markers. Sometimes I want to switch it up. Sometimes the message that I want to, and the lesson and the process that I want them to learn needs to be done in a different way. So let's say I want the kids to work on fine motor skills, but also tactile. We're gonna do some model magic. We're gonna work with model magic, and we're gonna do like, I'm like, okay, this activity is better fit for this. Or let's say I really want them to work on cutting. We're gonna imagine we're making little cookies, and we're gonna have scissors, and we're gonna be cutting, and we're gonna make our own little gingerbread cookies for Christmas time. It's like it definitely has helped me become a better art therapist, because as an art therapist, everyone asks, like, oh, like, do you need to be a good artist? I'm like, no, you kind of need to know the basics of all art. And because that's naturally where I'm at with my personal art, I'm like, I got this. I know a little bit of everything. And as far as like my work and my art, I kind of try to keep them separate. Haven't done a lot of my personal art. I just got back into it. Lately, my art has been social media content making. That's like where my creative juice has been flowing. But I'm jumped back to like my personal art, and it's just me. I keep it separate because I just be drained sometimes.
Yeah, I can imagine. No, and I love how you explain that. First of all, you sound like the best art therapist. Like you're explaining all those ideas, and I'm like, can I just take one of your classes? That sounds so fun, the gingerbread man. But I love that because I feel like there's this, and I wonder what you think about it. There's this, a bit of a misconception in the art world, not art therapy, but that if you don't kind of pick a discipline that's like a bad thing, or that it's not, it's not as good. Like you really have to pick something, right? And I resist that. You know, I tend to pick one thing, but that's just because that's what I like, not because I think that's better or anything. I always respect actually people who can kind of jump from one creative process to the next, because I think, you know, to your point, it's a real testament to like, to start over and be new at something is like, it's fun, but it's frustrating. It's so frustrating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, especially if you can be like, you can paint, you know, a face and you're so good at it and it looks good. And then to switch over to ceramics and then all of a sudden it looks like you're in first grade making like a little coil pot, it can be very disheartening. So I want to say like, it's a real testament, I think, to your skill set that you can do all of those things and that you naturally are sort of drawn to that. Have you ever felt that pressure to like pick one thing?
I think that that conversation where artists have to pick like one talent.
Yes.
I feel like it comes from the idea that you don't need to go to art school and that debate. And part of me feels like that's where it comes from. Cause it's like, oh, why do you need to go to art school if all you want to do is paint? You just focus on painting. Artists don't need to go to art school. And so that part of me thinks that's where it comes from. But I have never felt that pressure. I definitely have been able to take what I've done in one art creative space and have it come together. And a lot of my stuff does like flow in a sense.
Yeah.
Like I'm like painting and then I'm like, oh, I love stitching. I started stitching like my images on a bag and then sculpture stuff. Like, oh, I wanted to try working with sculpture. And it's like, and so I've incorporated that same type of style or the colors that I even use in my paintings with my sculptures. But for me, I've never felt the pressure. But like I said, I feel like it comes from that narrative that as an artist, you don't need to go to art school. You just have one skill set.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I liked art school. It gave me a space to practice and explore different mediums and how to work with them.
Yeah, no, and that makes sense. I actually want to dive into that a little bit. I'm curious. So art school, I am totally with you. My personal sort of idea on it is kind of like this. This is my analogy for it. It's like with driving, you know, a lot of us drive every single day, you know, especially if you live in Texas and everything spread out, you're always in a car. But just because you drive every day, 10,000 hours, whatever, doesn't mean you're like a good driver, like a NASCAR driver, right? That's like, you're the best of the best. I feel like art sometimes without, and it doesn't necessarily need to be school, but I would say guidance and community. You kind of don't develop that like push and pull of someone being like, well, I see your work like this. And I'm not saying like you have to, like if you want to make art in solitude and that makes you happy and you're fulfilled, like good. I'm happy genuinely. But I'm kind of with you on the fact that, you know, and I know school isn't accessible for everyone, which is always why I tread lightly. But I do think it's important to have, if you can have school, I think it's great, but have like guidance and a community. I think sometimes school is great because it's a community. I would be curious if you could like elaborate on like what you think was so beneficial about school. And if someone's listening to this, like do you have any, if they want that, like if they want that community, do you have any like insights for them?
Oh yeah. I really enjoyed having the already structured time to learn about art, to work on my art. Cause once you get out of art school, it's harder because you're like, I have to make it in between going to work. Then I have to feed myself dinner. Then I might want to exercise. And so I'm like squeezing in painting and like in my brain, I'm like, okay, when I get home, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. So school for me was the space and it was the designated time to work and to improve my craft. And I was also able to learn different like art history things that were missing, things that I'm like, I might want to go back to school so that I could focus on this. Or it was also a chance for me to like learn new tactics from my art professor. Like I said, I wasn't in school for art. So my professor was really good at starting from the basics and working our way up. I was introduced to working with like charcoals, pastels, things that I would not have gravitated towards, but I have the practice, I have had the time, and I'm like, okay, I'm able to work with it. And I know people who are artists who, you know, don't go to school, but they're not the individuals who rag on people who go to school. That's my issue. The people who have not gone to school, who rag on the people who do go to school. I'm like, listen, you ain't gotta do all that, okay? If I went to school, let me do me. I like the diversity. And I also encourage like kids, like you don't have to go to a big name school. You can do community college. They have community art courses.
Yep.
You could take a course a year and that could be it. It doesn't have to be consistent. Whenever we think of schooling, we think you got to do it in 4 years.
Yep.
If it's not within that space, do community college and go a semester at a time.
Yes.
And so it, but I definitely enjoyed having that designated time and the space.
Mm.
Another thing, love ceramics. Yeah. I don't have a kiln.
Yeah.
I don't have the space.
Yeah.
And it costs money to go to the spaces that have it. So.
Yes. Yes. Get that time while you can. Absolutely. I'm such a proponent of like, if it works out, you know, if you have like scholarships or it makes sense or family wants to help you, I think it's such a great, I wish it was like accessible to everyone. I wish everyone could just go to school. Cause you're right. It's the time, the space, the exposure to teachers who can help you. And I think it's just such a wonderful thing to experience. But I want to hear more about your creative process, because it sounds like you do a little bit of everything. And you mentioned it about like even your video editing being a part of your creative process. And like, even though like I make videos and I know that, like hearing you say that, I could picture your videos. And I was like, oh yes, there's a lot of artistry in there. So I'm curious, what is your creative process like, especially as someone who is so multi-passionate?
Mm-hmm.
And you said you keep it separate from your work, which I love. I think it's so good to have those boundaries. But can you walk us through like a day, you know, where you are, it's an art making day. Like, what does that look like?
Art making wise. So if I'm making content, I always will start with like an idea in my head. And I'm like, all right, how do I get this idea in my head? Because I always have like something in my brain. It just goes off. And I'm like, ah, I got to do it.
Yes.
So for that, it's like planning and figuring out, okay, this is what I want to do. I might write it out a little bit. It's like, okay, this is the layout. I got the layout, got the visuals, and then I'll start recording. And then once I've like recorded all the stuff, I'll just go in, edit it, and I'll have it fit. And the one thing I do is I will edit without music. So I don't always have an audio to go with it. I like editing silently so that when I look at it, it tells like a story. And I don't know what director does this, but they do the same thing. They edit their films without without the sound, then they add the sound later, because visually it has to look cohesive. So visually my content has to like tell a story, and if it like flows how I want it to flow, I'm like, okay, this looks like it's good. Now let's add the sound. And so the sound is like the little cherry on top that adds to it.
Oh, I love that.
So for content, there's that. As far as like if it's a painting day, currently I had like an image and I was just like, ooh, I want to recreate this. The painting day is like real simple. I'll come in. I like to go to quiltcolors.com. It's something.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll pick a color palette.
Oh.
And so, yes, that's how I decide my color palettes recently for my paintings. I'm like, what color palette I want to use?
Oh, I love
so
that.
So I have
that's
like
such a
chosen
good idea.
Color
oh my
palette.
Gosh.
And so it'll start off with me like mixing the colors of the palette, doing a match. And I love color theory. Only use the primaries, black and white. And so I'm like, oh, we're mixing the colors. And then once I have my colors laid out, a lot of my paintings they're drawn out, hand drawn, and then I project them onto the canvases. And so I'll do that. And then I just start the process using the different colors. That's like for a painting day. But those are like my two creative spaces right now in the process.
I love it. I love that. I love hearing your process. I could nerd out on anyone explaining their process. It's like, I love it so much. It's such, and I love that you talked about color theory and mixing the primaries. Like that's such a, you're speaking to my heart. Cause like those are favorite things. Also, if you find the name of that, where you pick your color palette and you want to share it,
I'll put it
in the show notes. Yeah. Yeah. No, you don't have to do it right now, cause that's such a good idea. And you know what? That's such a good example of you being a good problem solver and a good art therapist and a good artist all bundled into one, because I have sat so many times and been like, what am I going to paint? And like color is my, like the whole reason I paint is because I love color. And so the idea of like you problem solve by being like, I'm going to go to a color generator. Like that's so smart. Like I don't know what to paint. I'll start with the colors. The colors will inspire the art. I think that's such a good example of like, if you're really intentional with like art practice, instead of just showing up and be like, okay, make something, or you have to make something good to make it worth your time. Like that can be such like opposed to like the goal, right? It can be so like, it makes it harder to be an artist, I think. And it's such a beautiful, I think, example of how like you're compassionate towards yourself because you're an art therapist and it's helped your art. And I think it's such a beautiful example. But I wanted to ask a little bit about, you mentioned boundaries, keeping a boundary between your work and your art. And I think that's so good. Could you explain a little bit about like how you keep that boundary and any advice to someone who maybe they work in a care industry, especially, because that's a really hard thing to put I know for me, like I've struggled to put like a boundary even with just teaching. And I know that therapy's even bigger space to hold. But do you have any advice for creating that boundary, or like what that process looks like for you?
For me, if I'm like creatively drained as far as like having to work with like the patients or doing my own individual workshops, if I'm just like I'm tired, I don't feel like painting, I will respect that and be like, we're not painting today.
Yep.
We're not gonna force ourselves. Like for I think like last month I was like, oh, I need to get back to painting. And so I was just like, no, you don't. Just take it, you're gonna get back to it. So I've been like off and on in the like wanting to paint and focus on my paintings. And so I'm like, I jump back in it. I'm like, cool. I gave myself the time. I think it was like 3 months. And yeah. I gave myself the time. And then that was it. And a lot of my, like I said, my art, my actual work, it does not, like, it's nothing related to art therapy. Mm-hmm. Art therapy is art therapy. My art is my art. Completely two separate things. And people's like, oh, how does this work? I'm like, it doesn't. Or when they ask me like, oh, do you use art as your coping skill? No, movies. Yeah. Sci-fi and horror movies. And they're like, oh, wait, really? I was like, yeah, I just kind of paint when I feel like it. And yeah. I respect that. I don't force it. And a lot of my artist friends are like, where's the new art at? And I'm like, it's going to get there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't want to. We just keep it separate. I respect it where I'm at mentally, emotionally, with the creativeness. Then once I feel it, I hop back in.
Yep. Yep. Beautiful. I think that's such a good example. Creating through burnout is just a recipe for, like, you know, you make you resent your art and or your work and both and neither. And it's just, it's a really hard, you know, thing to do. So I think, and I love the fact that you said, like, you don't paint to unwind, which is, I could like shout this from the rooftops, especially I find that non-art people, they think painting, they think, okay, grab a wine and relax. And maybe a year, I'll have a painting session that has that energy. But the rest of it, it's like I'm in the trenches. It's at best neutral, and at like most, it's usually like kind of hard. Like, you know, like I'm wrestling with things. I'm dealing with like, I didn't get this right, or I need to use this, and it can be really hard. So yeah, I'm curious, like, you know, wrapping kind of a lot of these ideas up, when you talk about, you know, people making the misconception, whether it's your clients or yourself or other people's misconceptions, you know, what's your philosophy on like, no, art is hard, and this is why it's hard, and this is why you should respect it?
My philosophy is, listen, if you took some time in my brain, you would be
I love
like
that.
With the ideas, it's just like, it wouldn't make sense. I'm reorganizing and taking what's in here and making it make sense for everybody else. And so I'm just like, I know it looks easy, it looks simplistic, but it took a lot of like one practice to organize those thoughts and have like some sort of outline. And then two, again, I want it to be somewhat, you know, presentable to other people so they can somewhat understand where I'm coming from when you look at it. Yeah. And so they're always just like, wow, this is so cool. And I'm like, you want to try? And they're like, no. I'm like, okay.
Well, yeah, see, there you go.
I mean, sometimes I'll have some wine or a beverage, you know, while I'm painting. Yeah. But even in the moment, it's never just like, oh. So nice. I'm sitting here like stuck.
Yeah. It's hard work. No, that's always people misconception. And the tricky thing about it is, I think, especially because people don't always get to make art, I will always say, like, it is a privilege to get to make art. Like, my parents were both, I think, creative people who like just didn't have the time to make art. And so it's with them in mind that I'm always like, no, I'm really lucky. Like, I get it. But I also think that sometimes people conflate, oh, it's, you know, it's a lucky thing to do with it's easy. Mm-hmm. And that's definitely not the case. And I think, you know, from everything you've talked about today, the fact that it is a form of therapy, it's an expressive therapy, really shines a light on the fact that, you know, it can be fun, it can be rewarding, it can definitely be confidence building, like you said, but it's also like hard work. And I think the reason it's important to say hard work is because then you give it respect. You respect the process.
The labor. And it takes a lot of time. Anytime my like younger patients or like my teenagers come to me and they're like, Miss P, can you teach me how to draw? And I'm like, I don't think you're ready for that, because in order to learn how to draw, you need to be patient with yourself. Mm-hmm. And it's going to take so much time, because they're always like, how did you get so good? I've been painting since I was a child. And I've made a lot of mistakes. So they're like, can you teach me? I can't teach you in 45 minutes.
Yeah.
In 45 minutes, we're going to just learn the basics.
Yep, exactly. I love that. And so the last thing I want to share before I want to ask you what you're doing and what you're up to and how people can find you is kind of like a little rapid fire. If somebody wants to be an art therapist, they're on the fence. Like, could you give us some very quick, how do you know if it's a good fit for you? Like, what are the, pros and cons of it? Just if someone's like loosely entertaining wanting to be an art therapist, like, what do you think you wish you would have been told,
The one I know everyone asks, like, what's a tip? And I'm my tip is always one, make sure your mental is good, because when you hear art therapy, it sounds really fun, like, oh yes, I get to make art. And I'm like, no, it sounds great, but like in any other, like any therapy field, make sure your mental is good and that you're not going into this field to figure yourself out. And that's what I think what happens a lot of times, like, people will go through certain experiences and then they want to figure that experience out. And so while they're going to school to be a therapist or a music therapist or a dance therapist, they're also figuring themselves out. And then they're having to figure themselves out and then working with clients or patients, and they're not prepared to compartmentalize the stuff that they're going, that their patients or clients are going to throw at them. So if you're going to pursue this, make sure that you're in a space where that once you've gone through schooling, once you start working in the space, you're able to handle it. Because, whoo, I've come across some therapists who were not ready to be therapists.
Oh no.
And yes, I'm like, you are not ready. And they'll have like a breakdown. Like, this is in the job. They're having like a breakdown. I'm like, they weren't ready. So have yourself mentally ready. You can go on that journey. One of the things I was taught in graduate school was to go to therapy while you're in school. I didn't, but I would recommend that. There's that. And then if you currently like about to go into school for art therapy, my number one thing is when it comes to internships, try different ones. Because everyone is immediately like, oh, I know what I want to do. And I'm like, try another space. Cancel it out, because you might would go into what you want to do and you're like, I don't like this. What do I do next? So intern, like when you're interning, try different things. I did like a range of different things when I was in school for that.
No, that's such good advice, because you don't know until you're in it. Like, something can look so good on paper and like it looks like it's a fit for you, and then you're in there and you're like, actually, I don't like, the sound of chalk or something. And it's like, that would not work no matter how many breaks you took. So I think that's really good advice. Thank you so much for sharing all of that with us. I love learning about you. I love learning about your process. I love following you on TikTok. And with that, can you tell us, where can we find you? How can we connect with you? Is there anything going on? I'd love for you to share any and all of that.
Yes. Hold on. I think I'm really quick.
You're good.
Pause.
Take your time.
I gotta make sure I have the right information from my TikTok and Instagram, because I always forget
You're
it.
good. You're good.
So on my Instagram, you can find me at Pierra, PierraDB. And I believe that is the same for my TikTok account, Pierra, PierraDB. And what I'm currently up to this month, I have two workshops. I have my monthly workshop that I do every last Wednesday of the month, but then I'm also doing a art therapy workshop for men on June 23rd. And so generally I stay up to date. I always share what workshops and what events I'm doing on my social media, mostly on Instagram. I prefer Instagram. A lot more friendlier over there.
Yes, I feel you. TikTok is always so hit or miss. It's either great or like you
Yes.
get on the wrong side.
Yeah. So I usually like to stay up to date and I post, when I'm doing my workshops and events. But you can find all of that information on both my Instagram and TikTok account.
Wonderful. Thank you. I appreciate it so much. I love following you. I love it so much. I just want to say again, huge thank you for being here. I know everyone's going to be excited to follow you. You put out some really amazing content about your artwork and your aesthetic and your apartment, and it's all very cool and cute. And so, yeah,
Thank
huge
you.
thank you again for being here. Wasn't that an amazing conversation? I am so grateful for Pierra for sharing her time. As always, I encourage you to follow her. She is so fun, and I've learned so much from following her on TikTok. I'd also like to take a moment to thank the 5-star review for this week. Thank you so much, at Amy Dean Art. That is at Amy Dean Art. Thank you so much. As always, reviews are so helpful. They let me know if I'm going in the right direction, and they help me in my ranking in the Apple store and the Spotify store. So they are so helpful. If you would like to have your handle read off on air on next week's episode, make sure to give me a review. Let me know how you are enjoying the podcast. As always, guys, thank you so much. Happy creating, and I'll talk to you next week.